Check.
Hello and welcome to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. We are joined today by Joe Bonnet, who is a longtime college hockey coach who has recently joined USA Hockey as a regional manager with the American Development Model. Hey, Joe, thanks for taking the time.
Oh, no problem, Harry. Happy to be here.
You know, Joe, this is, your first month on the job. Have they kind of let you ease into it, or have they thrown you right into the fire?
Well, Kevin McLaughlin has done a little bit of both. He's let me ease in and take an observatory role with a lot of the other ADM managers. But he's also given me a lot of opportunity to get on the road and see some different regions of the country firsthand.
So what kind of places have you already been to?
Well, Kevin's been pretty good. My wife was kind of chuckling about it, but my first trip was back to Kalamazoo, where I played college. And Kenny Martell and myself were able to work with the Koha organization, and we had a great experience there. Then it was off to Las Vegas, and I was able to participate and observe the Level 5, which was an outstanding event. And the ADM regional managers were able to do breakout sessions there and present, and I was able to observe all the regional managers there. And then I just returned from Winter Park last night. Kenny and Ty Hennis and myself went and met with their organization of 75 players and met with their board of trustees and that kind of thing. So it's been good. I'm looking forward to heading out to Baltimore and Washington and New York and Long Island here in the next month.
So it's probably a little too soon to really ask you this question, but I was wondering if you've gotten a sense so far of what a typical road trip is like for the ADM crew. I mean, what kind of like on-ice things do you do? What kind of off-ice things? Working with parents, working with coaches, players, and things like that.
Well, I think a good example was the trip that I recently made that I didn't mention was with Scott Pollock. And we went down to Fort Lauderdale and we met with the Junior Panthers. And it was a great bunch of guys down there, a great hockey director down there. And we worked with the Peewees, the Bantams, and the Squirts. And basically what we did is we did an off-ice meeting with the parents and the coaches. We went through the ADM. We explained to them the science of the ADM and what's working for the young athletes of today and what's best in their developmental interest. And then we were also able to get on the ice and actually perform ADM-style practices. So for the Squirts, we did a lot of individual breakdown skills and drills and cross-ice games. And then we even had a Bantam team out there where we were teaching concepts with breakouts and transition and that kind of stuff. The interesting with Florida was the participation. They have a very knowledgeable coaching staff down there. And a former NHLer by the name of Marco Sturm has a squirt involved in the ADM. And Marco was 100% on board. He had the helmet on the ice. He was excited. He was sitting in the front row of the presentations. And when you see guys like that on board, you know you're doing the right thing. And Marco was pretty interesting in our meeting down there. He stood up and he told the rest of the coaches with the Junior Panthers that he didn't play cross ice until Pee-wees. Or I'm sorry, he didn't play full ice until Pee-wees. So it was a good momentum statement. I think we got a lot of people on board down there, and it was a good trip.
Is there, I know it's still very early in the program for you, but is there a lot of selling that still needs to go on, or do you get a sense in just the trips that you've taken that a lot of people are really starting to say, hey, they're onto something here?
You know, I'm getting a sense of a little bit of both. Like, for example, Ty, myself, and Kim Martell went to Winter Park last night, and that's a small ski resort, skiing town up in the mountains, and they're just getting started. And it wasn't so much a sell job, but it was an information job. But the trip to Kalamazoo working with Koha, Bob Mancini and Kenny Martell have done a great job with that organization, and there was no sell at all. They're 2 to 3 years into their program. They're 100% ADM. In fact, they're so strong ADM that they can they have the ability to choose their coaches and select the coaches that are on board and keep moving forward. So Kenny and I, when we went down there, the mission was just to reinforce, to help teach, and really to keep pushing forward. But I think it's both. I think some programs are seeing a lot of the fruits of their labor, and I think some programs are still getting up and running.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you spent a long time as a college coach at Miami University and also at Colorado College. I was wondering, with all that coaching experience that you have at that highest level, what's the learning curve been like for you so far?
Well, the learning curve has been immense, specifically about the ADM, the science, the presentations, and really it's a new way of coaching. And as a coach, as soon as you're open and as soon as you're ready for change and growth, you're really going to take off in the ADM. And the other regional managers that I have a chance to work with have been excellent in teaching and bringing me along. And you know, I'm already a different coach than I was 2 months ago with technique and style and purpose for drills and that kind of stuff. But the other thing is, the thing that I liked about coaching in college, Harry, was as a college coach, you do have a chance to work a lot on individual skill and in small groups. So for a lot of the defensemen that I worked with at Colorado College, the ones that went on and developed and maybe made it to the NHL, I had a chance to break their game down, to teach in a small, maybe three or four defenseman type situation, and really develop them because you have a lot of time and space in college. And I think that component is real similar to the ADM. I am a firm believer. The one thing that I've seen in the ADM so far is that you have the ability to be an outstanding, excellent coach when you're working with kids in a group of 3 to 6 to 7 kids. I mean, you're really hands-on. You can touch the kids. You can coach the kids. You can teach the kids a lot easier than when you're going full ice and you're yelling across the ice. So a lot of those components stay the same from college, the relationships and that kind of thing. And when you're dealing with younger kids, you just got to get down to their level and make it fun and keep moving forward.
Well, speaking of younger kids, you're also a hockey dad, and you have a couple of sons who play in the Colorado Springs program, where the American Development Model and a lot of the principles, the station-based practices, have been in place for a number of years. I was wondering, I know you didn't have a lot of spare time when you were coaching at Colorado College, but when you did, and what you watched from your sons playing, what kind of benefit did you see for their own development being a part of the ADM?
Well, I saw three things quite clearly: a lot of smiles, a lot of sweat, and a lot of desire to be at the rink. And they absolutely loved it. You know, I have Noah's a peewee, and he's a first-year peewee, and he's been a part of the ADM since he's been a mite. So he's been going at it for about 4 or 5 years now. And you know what? You just see his touches, his confidence, his ability to get around the ice. But I think most importantly now, that as he's getting to the peewee age, the cognitive piece is coming into it. So his ability to make game decisions at a fast pace and to understand how the game is played, and maybe to survey the ice and know that he has option A, B, and C, and to be able to hit the right option if it's B right away. Those types of things now are starting to emerge in the peewees, and I think he's enjoying the game now and being able to play it in that fashion. The other thing with the peewees with Noah is his ability to continue to make good body contact and play a physical game in a lot of those small area games. He loves that piece of it too, and I know he enjoys kind of roughing it up with his other friends from around the neighborhood. And then I have another little boy, Sammy. He's in mites, and you know, he's cross ice and he's all games, and you know, he's just working on his skating and his directional moves and that kind of thing, and he loves it. And he comes off with the ringettes and the soccer balls and the tag games, and it's a blast. It kind of reminds me when we go to Disney World. You know, when we go to Disney World and we're standing in lines or not doing anything, they're kind of bummed out. But when they're riding the roller coasters, they're having a blast, and that's really what the ADM reminds me and my wife of.
Absolutely. Well, like you said, you know, Noah started when he was a mite, and the ADM, for a lot of people, I mean, they wanted to create a real strong, solid foundation with cross-ice hockey, mite hockey. But the ADM is so much more than just mite hockey. And this year, a lot more focus is going to be placed on working with the Squirts and the Peewees and the Bantams. Can you just talk a little bit about that and how you right. see that's going to help with your role?
Well, to be honest with you, Harry, that was my biggest concern coming into the ADM. I understood the cross-ice games. I understood the 8-and-under because, obviously, Noah was part of the 8-and-under. The thing that I needed to understand and really grasp was that cognitive transfer from mites to Squirts to Peewees. How do you teach the game? How do you teach the nuances of the game? How do you teach the little pieces of the game through small stations and through small games? And the thing that I've learned from Bob Mancini and Scotty Pollock and Grillo and Ty and all these guys is kind of what I referred to earlier, is that you can actually teach the game better within those small environments. And the thing that I've learned with the ADM is taking game situations, taking something like a breakout or a gap or a forecheck or an angle or even a power play piece, that can all be accomplished in small areas with kids getting a lot of reps and a lot of touches and really understanding the big picture of the game and then seeing that transfer to the big sheet and to the big ice. So I know we're moving forward. I know Ty just got back from Dallas where he worked with the older kids and the elite kids, the elite level kids. And I know that the rest of the ADM regional managers are excited to work with those types of groups just as much as young mites around the country.
What are some of the biggest challenges that you found working with the younger players compared to, you know, you've spent so many years working with college players who have considerable skills and maturity and stuff like that. But so what are some of the biggest challenges working with the young guys?
I think the biggest challenge with the young guys, number one, are the parents. And I think the parents that are 2 feet in, it's much easier to work with their child. I think it's the parent who's behind the glass with their arms crossed, scowling at the ADM without knowing really the science or what we're doing with their youngster has been the challenge. Explaining to those parents and communicating the message of the ADM that this is the right thing and this is where we're headed. But you know, when you get on the ice and if it's a safe environment and you got the practice directed with good coaches, which is another thing I've been amazed with being around the country in Florida and Dallas and Kalamazoo and seeing the quality of youth hockey coaches emerge, it's been very impressive. It's a lot of fun. And those little kids, they smile a lot. They don't take the game as serious as maybe as a college kid. You might have to give them a couple more directions. But it's funny, when you get your skates on and you get on the ice and you're playing games, even at the college level or at the youth hockey level, there's usually a smile. There's usually some sweat. And hockey's a good thing.
No doubt about it. Well, you know, you mentioned earlier that you were in Las Vegas for the Level 5 Coaches Symposium, and we had some great NHL coaches like John Cooper and Jack Capuano and Dan Bylsma. And one of the things that stood out for me was that they were all talking about skill development at the NHL level. And can you just talk a little bit about the skill development at the college level? I mean, the fact that I think a lot of people would be blown away to know that you're still working on things like skating and shooting, yeah, and playing the game.
Well, I was amazed by that, Harry, and you're absolutely right. You hear those world-class coaches, and it wasn't about systems. It wasn't about X's and O's. It was about give us good players. And you hear Jeff Blashill, the head coach of the Grand Rapids Griffins of the American Hockey League, talk about habits. He wants players with good habits. And I think those are things youth coaches can put into their players. And then you hear Dean Lombardi talk about fully developed NHL players, it's not 18. It's not when they're drafted in the first round at 18. It's when they're 26. So I walked away from there keeping in mind the big picture of development, and that it's not about one game when you're a mite. It's not about one game when you're a college hockey player. It's about getting to your best potential when you're 24, 25, 26, 27, or if you want to move on and play club hockey or Division III hockey or play men's league hockey, you know, as a lifetime sport. The thing in college hockey in development is again, it's very similar to the ADM model. As a college hockey coach, you have a lot of time to practice with your men, and you're practicing, you know, Monday through Thursday. You get big chunks of time, and again, a lot of development occurs in high-tempo practices. When I was at Colorado College, we did a lot of cross-ice games. We did a lot of small area games for competitiveness and for repetition. Then you also were able to break down skills in small defense and offense situations. So, you know, the one thing I would say to youngsters out there is everything you want to get out of hockey is available to you, but you have to work hard. The thing that I was amazed with the college athletes that I had a chance to work with was how hard and dedicated they were to the sport. And when it was time to practice, they strapped on their helmet and they gave 100%. They paid a lot of attention to their diets. They made sure they got right nutrition at the college level. Obviously, their off-ice workouts had a lot of detail and a lot of effort, and then followed up with their ice time practices. So I think development at the college level, you know, it's kind of an all-the-time thing right now, and it's a mental thing, it's a nutritional thing, it's a strength thing, and it's a hockey thing. And when you're at that level, it's nice because those kids are 100% committed to that type of thing, and you can really see kids develop. The one more thing I'll add on that, Harry, that the players that I was proud to develop at CC when I was at Miami were kind of the B-plus, B players that developed into A-minus, A players. Guys like Jack Hillen, who weren't an NHL draft pick, who weren't a big buzz coming out of high school out of Minnesota, but then came to CC and worked for 4 years and earned a contract at the NHL level. Or a guy like Tom Pricing, who played 4 years of Minnesota high school hockey, 3 years in the USHL, and 4 years in college to earn his 3 NHL contracts. And you know, you're always going to get guys like Mark Stewart and Jaden Schwartz that are going to be pure talent first-round draft picks. But when you see those B-plus kids turn into A-plus kids and you see good college players turn into good NHL players and you had something to do with that, it's pretty gratifying.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, you mentioned this. You practice four times a week. You play a couple weekend games. So pretty solid practice-to-game ratio. When you see, and probably have been a bit of an eye-opener being here, when you're hearing about Pee-wee teams playing 70 games in a season, obviously that's not going to leave a whole lot of time for practice. What kind of message would you have to parents or to coaches who are in a situation like that?
Well, I think the message there is very clear. When you're playing 70 games, you're cheating your development. And the quality of development during a game, especially for a Mite, Squirt, Pee-wee, even Bantam, is not good. And there's only one puck during a game. There's only five kids per team playing during the game. That means there's 20 or 15 kids on the bench that aren't developing. And what I'm learning, what I'm seeing, is that you're really cheating your youngster out of developmental time. And, you know, games are good. Competition is excellent. But you can get more out of a practice, especially at that young age, especially when you're a peewee and your body is just thirsting for skill development. You can get a lot more accomplished in 1 year with more puck touches, more practice, and good coaching than you can in a game. The other thing I would say, too, when you're playing 70 games, that's a lot of travel. And you don't need to travel to play a lot of those games. You can stay home, you can practice, you can play games right around your local community and get a little bit more bang for your buck. But, you know, I grew up in Detroit. I did play in the AAA models. I do understand those schedules. But now that having two sons in it and seeing my Pee-wee in the ADM model where, you know, we went on four little tournaments last year. We did one in Aspen, one in Denver, and two here in Colorado Springs, and that was plenty. He had a great year, and to see his development where he's at, I've been very satisfied with that.
What do you see? And the final question I have is looking at the ADM and looking at how the development's going. What do you think how that's going to benefit the future of college hockey and the quality of the college hockey player?
Well, Harry, that's what's exciting. And I told Kevin when I took the job here, I said, I think you're onto something, Kevin. I think this is a sea change, and I think that we're going to see a major change in the next 3 to 5 to 10 years. And we've done a good job now with mites and squirts, and we're going to continue now to chip away, as you alluded to bantams and peewees and bantams. But ultimately, what we want to accomplish is creating a bigger talent base for everybody. So I think before it gets to the college level, I think we're going to see better talent in the midget level. We're going to create a bigger talent, American talent base for the junior level, which will ultimately create a bigger American talent base for the NCAA, which you know, coming from the NCAA, the talent base needs to be expanded. So I think there's great things in the future. I think it's heading in the right direction, and I'm really excited to see when this first group of ADM youngsters comes through to see the impact on the American hockey.
Absolutely. Well, we're all excited to have you here at USA Hockey and working with the ADM with your background and your passion for the game. So thanks for taking the time and joining us today.
Thanks, Harry. Appreciate it.
Thanks again, everybody, for listening to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast.